check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, Nate and Joe go through the bulk of the fantasy-relevant catcher crop for 2017 fantasy leagues, and also weigh the likelihood of the existence of certain mythical creatures.
I once trained a horse.
Fantasy jousting.
Joe left me mid sashimi.
I got live breaking news.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. With hashtag Shark Week.
So do you actually balance your checkbook?
So he hasn't had a chance to suck yet.
I want somebody with some chest hair.
First fly concept.
What are his weapons?
Shut up and talk.
Those boards don't work on water.
I'm the destroyer of burritos.
Be sure to cut all that out.
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things.
Put that away.
This isn't a joke.
Eating ain't cheating.
Welcome to episode 101 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And I'm joined today by a man who once saw Sasquatch in the woods growing up, Joe Osachi.
Ah, yes, he was snapping into a Slim Jim, if I recall.
Oh, is that what he was? That seems to be what they do these days.
The average Sasquatch spends most of his time either eating Slim Jims or being antagonized by people that are eating Slim Jims.
Yeah, those poor Sasquatch, they get picked on a lot.
It's not easy being a Sasquatch these days, but and it, just think, if Jesse were here, I could introduce him as a Sasquatch.
As an actual Sasquatch?
Yeah.
That would have been great. Damn it.
Yeah, but there's no Jesse today, though, so.
Now, have you ever heard, speaking of, and I thought of that because I saw this video on the Book of Faces. Somebody in Russia captured video of what they think to be some sort of shape-shifting humanoid out in the middle of the woods in the dead of winter.
Define shape-shifting humanoid.
I forget what the name was. It's like pinkish, like flesh-colored or whatever. It's like, I don't know, it's somewhat human, but it's, I don't know, it's shapeshift. It's supposed to be...
It's not wearing clothes.
No. And then, so I was all excited to watch, because I love stuff like that. So I clicked on the video, and it's like, you know, 20 seconds or whatever. And it's in the middle of the night, and it's this car that has like a dash cam on it, and they're driving through like a foot of snow out in the wilderness. And, you know, like 50 feet away, just at the edge of where the headlights are at, this thing sort of like mushes through this snow quickly.
And that's all you see?
And that's all. I'm like, really? You can't see anything at all? Good lord. It's probably one of their buddies who jumped out of the back seat naked and, like, just crossed the road.
The average Sasquatch video or whatever of those videos is not real. The only thing like that I really believe is Blair Witch.
Oh, yes.
That documentary.
100% accurate. You know, one of
Speaking of horror movies, as we were, because I just brought it up 1 second ago, did you see, I saw yesterday there's a new Ring movie coming out?
Yes.
Are you going to see that?
You're damn right I am.
It actually looked kind of, I mean, all I saw was like a 10-second silent trailer, just because I didn't have the volume on, but kind of looked like it was going to be good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nice to see those movies get sort of a facelift. Not that The Ring was really that old, but you know, it's nice to see it being brought back.
Kind of, I mean, Ring 2 was really bad.
Yeah, I think I don't remember if I even saw it. If I did, I feel like I blacked it out of my memory.
I went to it in theaters, and yeah, it sucked. I mean, it was just that one felt like a money grab. Like they're like, "Well, the big first one was popular. We got to do it again."
Oh, that's any movie. Like any movie that has any modicum of success, they're gonna make another one.
Yeah, but that one,
and then they usually suck.
It really ruined the first one for me there, because the first one was like really actually like a perfect little horror movie. It was, you know, suspenseful, and then the second one was just like trying to get trying to get people to scream. That was their whole goal. Like, they kept, you know, when people would see her and then they'd have that weird frozen face thing, you know, they showed it like one time in the first movie.
Yeah.
They show it like, there's like eight of those scenes where they like build up to it and then show the face just so you scream. And like, everybody in the theater, because there's a lot of college girls, fell for it every single time. But I mean, it wasn't actually even scary. It was just lame stuff to try and get you to scream.
Yes, in between bouts of trying to fend off Joe running his hand up their skirts in the theater.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I think I was there with a group of like eight dudes, but...
Well, that also will make them scream. I don't know, it seemed like sort of the same old tricks from what I saw from the trailer, but I think I'm going to see. My 10-year-old is like obsessed with that. He just found out, he didn't even know, like he just saw the commercials for the new one, and he, obviously being 10, he didn't even know that the first one existed.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah, watch that first one, you know, all these years. He's like, what? They already made one? I'm like, yeah, so.
Seems like it'd be a little scary for a 10-year-old, but hey.
He loves that stuff. Like, he accidentally, we walked downstairs one day when the wife and I were watching Jeepers Creepers, which is sort of a, you know, old classic.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, and he was just obsessed with it, so.
God, well, my kids are still younger than that, but if they saw any, like, Miles will, like, if I have, like, Star Wars on or anything that's even not like PG like or G rated, he'll be like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Like, I had Rise of Planet of the Apes was on the other day, and I just had it on, and he was supposed to be in bed, and he came upstairs, so it was on, and the monkeys were just getting angry about something like they do.
Well,
he's just like, Dad,
terrible.
Can you change the channel?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, apes will rip your face off, man. That is some scary stuff.
They were pretty pretty brutal in there. God, I love that Caesar, though.
The what? Caesar?
Caesar. And that's the monkey in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time. I just remember the salad.
Did you actually see Rise of Planet of the Apes?
I think I watched part of it back in the day.
Oh, it's a good movie. I'm not, I mean, not the original ones, which I also saw, but...
Have you ever heard of the Wendigo, Joe?
Nope.
That's my favorite mythical creature. Or one of them, anyway.
Why are we talking about mythical creatures?
I don't know. It's fun. It lives in the woods by us.
The Wendigo?
Yeah. It's like it's like a pissed off Native American spirit that has turned into the body of... it's like an emaciated deer, basically, that walks on 2 feet.
You've seen it?
It eats people. No, I've never seen it.
Let's make a video of that. We'll make Jesse dress up like it.
He usually is on all fours, so it'll be hard to get him to walk on 2 feet. But
oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. What's your favorite mythical creature? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at fantasyamateurs on the Twitter. And, of course, don't forget that every week before the season starts, the MLB season starts, by emailing us or tweeting us or retweeting the show link on Twitter, or, of course, giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or any other podcast app, and then sending in to us that you have done that. That qualifies you for the weekly drawing of a big bag of pretzels, Joe.
Boy, we got...
You hear that?
I saw the... Well, you tweeted it out as well, but I saw pictures of the pretzels. I mean, we have so many pretzels right now.
That picture didn't even... I couldn't find an angle that did the size of that box justice.
Did you? I mean, we say it's like a 40-pound box of pretzels.
It really is. So, like, you could see, I sort of, you know, angled everything on the top, but there's layers and layers of pretzel bags even below that top layer. So we've got a lot to give out. So if you want some free pretzels, and trust me, you do.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you might not know anything about Dot's Pretzels, but, I mean, they're easily, in my opinion, the best pretzels out there. And they're, you know, they're not just regular, boring, salted pretzels. These are seasoned pretzels, and that seasoning is what's going to get you.
Yes, and they also, they shipped us, you can buy just that seasoning, the Dots Pretzel Rub.
Yeah, I saw that there was bags that said pretzel rub. I've never seen that in stores, so.
Yeah, and I was reading the packaging on this, and it says it can be used in meatloaf and as a dessert crust.
Man, do I want to make a meatloaf with that stuff.
I know. And it's got, it's on the back too. It's, you can put it on chicken or pork, fish, put it in the oven or the grill. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I haven't gotten a bag yet, but I'm sure next time we do the podcast, I'm going to grab like 8 bags of pretzels, so yeah. I'll take one of those too.
We'll be announcing whoever wins each week on the Twitter, so get out there and do it. And I don't know, do I need to plug that Fantasy Baseball Summit again? Probably not. I'll just follow the show and follow me on Twitter. I'll tweet that out whenever it's available. So,
well, I have no idea when we're going to release this episode, so.
It's going to be, I'd say, early next week.
Yeah, I mean, so we're recording currently on Friday, so, you know.
Yeah.
If any of these players die between now and then.
Oh, God, hopefully not. I mean,
I guess I shouldn't say that since somebody just died.
What I was thinking. Like, I laughed at that, and then, oh, somebody did just die, actually.
So. Yeah, I don't expect anyone to die. I was just, you know.
Certainly not. But anyway, getting into the actual fantasy stuff, this is going to be our catcher positional preview. And if you weren't with us last year, basically what we do, we look at the Fantasy Pros MLB ADP, which finally just came out. It was just NFBC up until, I think, just a few days ago. So finally, we're sort of getting ADP from like Yahoo and CBS and all that kind of stuff. And it matches.
I think all that
together. They
have right now is NFBC and RT Sports, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
at least
right.
It's somewhat of a, you know, we'll get there.
Yeah, so this is our way of sort of getting more in-depth on each player at the position. And we're also going to do special guest episodes when we're going to go over the position as well, get a guest's sleeper and bust, basically, and pit some of these players against each other, who would you rather have type of thing. So, but we're actually going to start off with a little bit of news that affects the position. Couldn't have happened at a better time. It was announced yesterday that Kyle Schwarber, who did not play a game at catcher last year, Yahoo is actually going to put him as a catcher this year. So if you are drafting on Yahoo and he is a catcher, where are you drafting him amongst the position, Joe?
That's just Yahoo?
So, just Yahoo.
Yeah, because CBS isn't doing that.
Well, it's asinine to me that Yahoo is even doing that, considering that they had no intention of playing him a catcher last year and he didn't play a game.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. Whatever. If he was a catcher, I would probably, like, well, I mean, I haven't really seen anything on his health yet. Like, is there any health concerns that you have for him for the next season?
As far as I've heard, he's good to go.
Should be good to go.
Yeah.
I'd probably take him number two then.
Behind Posey?
Yeah.
Interesting. So you think...
I mean, I kind of trust him more than Gary Sanchez. He'd be up there with the top catchers, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I might take him number one.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, because he's kind of like him and Gary Sanchez. I mean, he was last year's version of Gary Sanchez, basically.
Yep.
You know, but I mean, I think he's maybe a little bit more proven than him. I mean, Sanchez was just that one magical stretch. But, yeah, I guess at this point it'd be hard to argue taking him over Posey, because Posey, he's been – I mean, he hasn't had a truly bad season yet, but the power numbers have been dropping off the last couple of years. He just – like, he's still a great batting average player, and he scores runs, and he's got RBI because he hits in the middle of the lineup. But Posey doesn't have that much power anymore at this point. Power, you know, his homers have gone 22, 19, down all the way down to 14 last year. Then he didn't miss that much time, so.
Yeah, I want to say there was a little bit of a nagging injury with him last year. So between him and Kyle Schwarber, let me touch on Posey a little bit first. He did, like you said, he had 14 home runs last year, short of the 19 and 22 from the last 2 years. But his hard contact rate was the best of his career last year, 36%. But his fly ball rate was down a little bit. But a career low home run per fly ball is pretty much the biggest thing that sapped his power. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that we see rebound a little bit.
So you would be betting on a Posey bounce back?
I would, yeah. I mean, relatively speaking, like, we're not talking 25 home runs or anything, but I think he can get back up to, like, pushing 20 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. If he's going to hit 20 to 22 home runs, and then have solid RBI and run production, and they won't be the only catcher that has a good batting average, then you're getting what you paid for. And since he had this down year, like so far this season with this very early ADP, he's at 42 overall. Still probably a little bit high, but I mean, this was a guy that used to probably go around 30, 25 when he was kind of more at his peak. So,
yeah.
If I could get him, you know, maybe 10 picks later, I'd probably be thinking about it. But still, yeah, up at, you know, he's going around like Giancarlo Stanton, AJ Pollock's going in that area. John Segura's there. So, I mean, there's a lot of – and then a lot of pitching goes around that area. And I'd probably prefer most of those guys to Posey, or most of the guys going around into Posey. But if he could drop, you know, 10, 15 spots, which is possible in any given draft, then I would maybe take him. He's a guy I almost never own.
Right. Yep. Completely agree. That's still a little bit too – yeah, even with the discount, it's still a little bit rich for my blood. I would take Kyle Schwarber there in Yahoo Leagues where he – qualifies
at
a catcher.
At the 40 range.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a riskier profile than Buster Posey. You know, Posey's just, even last year in a quote-unquote down year, you know, 14 home runs and a great average. But, I mean, you're looking at 35 home runs potential, you know, from Kyle Schwarber. Definitely less of a batting average, but...
Yeah, I mean... Schwarber walk, so if you're, you know, OBP in the Cubs are pretty obvious to say they have a great lineup, and he'll be hitting in the heart of that lineup. Or actually, I read something that he would maybe even hit leadoff.
Yep.
So if he's hitting anywhere near the top, you know, if he's hitting first or even if he's hitting fifth or sixth, like that's just such a great lineup that he's going to put up the counting stats. So I actually think that, yeah, at catcher, he's better than Posey, but... I don't know. I guess I probably will play it at least one Yahoo League. It is weird. I don't really think he should be catcher eligible, but...
Yeah, nor do I. So I guess let's move down the ladder then. Who do we have next? Gary Sanchez?
Well, we talked about Posey, so Posey, Schwarber, you can cross off the list. Gary Sanchez is like the guy to talk about at catcher this year, so I suppose we should spend some time on him.
I suppose we should spend some time on him, Joseph. What do you think about the Sanchez?
We talked about him at the end of last season. It was, you know, kind of during the sansplosion. I made that up right now. But
yeah, very catchy.
Thank you. He was, you know, he was putting up Babe Ruth numbers. And, you know, I was guessing, like I said, just at that time, like where do you think he'll go next year? And I said he'll go, like, right after Posey, probably in, like, the third or fourth round. And that's pretty much where he's going. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it would maybe even be a little bit worse. Currently, 52 is his ADP. It's even NFBC ADP is 46. You know, and that's pretty smart players doing drafts in January for big money. So yeah. even the smart people are taking him early, and I wouldn't take him at 46. I mean, he hit 20 homers in 53 games last year, so I don't think any of those really intelligent NFBC players are really thinking he's going to hit 60, which it would be what that would roughly pace out to. But
it's pretty ridiculous. I guess we even mention my rankings at the top of the show?
No, but they're up there.
Okay, yeah. Go to thefantasyamateurs.com and you check out my blog. Currently, catcher is the only one that I have up. But this year, what I did is instead of sort of chunking these guys into like a block of 10 or whatever and then just writing a sentence about each, I put a key stat with each player.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I like it.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a nice little, you know, it's just one little snippet that I thought was interesting sort of from their profile that you can sort of use as a plus or negative when you're, you know, thinking about his value.
Yeah, it's nice.
And so I ranked Gary Sanchez second behind Posey. I think I would rather wait, you know, a couple picks or hopefully a round for Sanchez if I'm going to take a catcher early. Most likely I'm not.
Yeah, like I said, I basically said Posey would have to fall down to the range where Sanchez is going, like somewhere in the 50 to 60 range. So, but if they're both there at the same time, I mean, I guess you take Posey due to the safety and he might hit 25 home runs if he can kind of bounce back, like you said. Sanchez, you would have to hope, like, that he, like, I guess the hope would be that he hits 35, Like, that would be, and that's based on what he did last year. That's like a safe projection.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's just so young that I don't know that I could safely say that I can really project any catcher to hit 35 homers. I mean, they just don't do that.
Yeah, you can never take too much from, you know, half season stats. For what it's worth, though, looking at what he did, 42% hard contact rate, tremendous. However, 49% ground ball rate, so he didn't put a lot of balls into the air. He popped up 14% of his fly balls.
What was his homer fly ball, like 70%?
40%.
Like, just with the stats you're giving, it's like, geez.
Yeah.
Everything in the air must have been a homer, so.
Exactly, yeah. So when almost half of everything that you put in the air is a home run, obviously that's not going to sustain. So, you know, and also his contact rate was just 71%, 13% swing strike rate. So he whiffed a lot. That batting average is going to come way down.
Yeah, you know, .299 last year. That type of player that he's not Buster Posey.
You.
He's more of a masher. You know, more like a lot more like what the hell, why, you know, Kyle Schwarber.
There you go.
Couldn't think of that for whatever stupid reason. Anyway, you know, he's a lot, profile's a lot, you know, maybe, you know, 250, 260, that could be some, you know, if he hits 260 and hits even anywhere near 30 home runs, I think you'd be really happy. But the question is, would you have overpaid for him anyway, taking him in the fourth round?
Yeah, I would say most
likely,
yes. If
he puts up 30 home runs, that's pretty damn good, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I see that happening. You know, it's... I think, you know, like, people point toward his minor league track record and say, oh, he never came anywhere near this type of power in the minors. I have a strong inkling that there are very different balls in Major League Baseball nowadays than there are in minor league baseball.
Yeah, the players' balls are certainly changing.
You got to check.
Or you mean
the
baseballs?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're about on this show, though, is testicular cancer awareness.
Checking your balls, yeah.
Yeah, you got to check your balls.
That can be what you're about. You'd be about you can be about checking your balls, and I'll be about respect for women.
That worked. I've been searching for something that I'm about since the show started.
I tried to stick a couple on you, and they never seemed to stick.
I'm very not sticky.
At one time, I said you were about stealing jokes.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
You tried to say that you were about burritos.
Oh, I am about burritos.
Yeah. We'll see what sticks.
I'm also about Rockstar Punched energy drinks.
You do love those.
God, they're good. Almost as good as that pretzels. Anyway, where the hell were we? Sanchez. Yeah, so I ranked him second, you know, at catcher.
Yeah.
But would I draft him second? No. And one thing I will say, I did want to bring
up... You mean, would you draft him where he's going, basically?
Yeah. I'm not,
because if you
spend...
ranked him second, I assume you would draft him second.
Right, yeah. I mean, obviously you rank these guys in the order of preference, but am I actually going to pay up for any of these
upper-tier
catchers? No.
Yeah.
I'm just, especially in shallow leagues, I'm just going to wait and just get
whatever. Yeah, if you're in a 10-team league, like, you know, and I play in one 10-team league, and I never, ever take a catcher before the last 3-4 rounds, so.
Yeah. I mean, and once you get past this sort of these top three, four, if you have Schwarber in there, that's sort of like the elite tier to me. Once you get past that, a lot of them are really, really similar. So
might
as well
just wait
in a standard league.
I'd say all the way down to, like, you know, the top 10 maybe are all pretty solid. If you could include Beef Wellington in that, if you're going by your rankings. And then after that, it's kind of dart throws. But anyway, we can, you know, talk about all of them in semi-detail.
We will. But I wanted to talk, before we move on to the Luke Roy, I wanted to mention Gary Sanchez's key stat that I put on here. 10.5%, which is the percentage of StatCast barrels per plate appearance that Sanchez registered last year, which would, you know, obviously it was just half season, but that did rank third in all of baseball behind only Chris Davis with a K and Miggy.
Yeah, and Chris Davis hit, what, like 42 home runs?
Yeah, and Miggy, obviously one of the greatest hitters of our time. But for those who don't know, StatCast's barrels Basically, it's a metric that combines launch angle with exit velocity. It's a minimum 98 miles per hour off the bat, and launch angle between 10 and 30 degrees. And basically, a barrel yields a batting average over 800 and a slugging percentage over 3,000. So, obviously,
just do that every time.
Yeah, it's the best possible outcome for your batted ball. Only about 6% of all balls in play wind up being barrels, and the best hitters in the league are, like I said, right around that 10, 11, 12% mark. So, for what it's worth, I mean, Sanchez did
whiff
last a lot.
Last year he was one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
I think it shows that it's not an all fluke, you know, and I don't think anyone thinks it's all a fluke, obviously.
Right. Yep.
But there was a lot of fluky stuff there, but there's also a lot of talent, too.
Absolutely, yeah. So you can't just, you know, point to all the, you know, his strikeout rate, obviously, I think is going to jump, but you can't look at that and point to full regression. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a full-on huge bust, but again,
no,
I don't know if he's going to
really... No, it's just, and actually, like, I really did think it would be worse. Like, I thought that he'd be going, like I said, he's, like, 52 right now. I was thinking pretty much where Posey's going is where he'd be going, maybe even a little earlier. So, I mean,
well,
people... Again, we haven't got the Yahoo ADP and
exactly,
that stuff.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you look at real-time sports and FBC, those are the sharps of the average Joes, so to speak. You know, once we get the CBS, the Yahoo in there, the ESPN, those are more of the Joe Schmoes, like how I put Joe in each one of those.
Yeah, I like that.
That was almost an accident. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see his ADP continue to rise.
Yeah. A lot of that is driven to me, you know, like ESPN ADP is so much of it's driven by ESPN standard rank. So what are they going to rank him as? Mm-hmm. But there's always like you just go and do a mock and there's a lot of times you'll find a guy that whoever the buzzy sleeper is takes him four rounds early or whatever. So,
yep. So, all right, that's enough on Sanchez. Let's move on. Who managed to hit a career high 24 bombs last year, Joe? Can you do it again?
Well, I mean, I read somewhere online that he had the highest home run fly ball of his career last year.
He certainly did, Joseph.
Then his lowest contact rate at 81.8%. I mean, you know, like you said, we've said it a million times, never pay for a career season. So,
yeah.
And it's, you know, Lucroy's old. I mean, this isn't like a fluke season that came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, he's been a great catcher for years and years and years, but last year was... just such a return to form. You know, I mean, the 2014 was a pretty solid season. He had 301, but he only had 13 homers. So I don't think he's a 25-homer guy. And obviously, based on your stats, I don't think you do either. But he's still one of the best catchers because, like, you know, catchers don't hit 290.
Exactly, exactly. And he is one of those guys that racks up more plate appearances than most catchers because
he plays first base, too.
Yeah. So that does give him a boost. So, like I said, you know, definite regression, but I'd still take him third, fourth,
yeah,
if you put Schwarber in there.
I definitely wouldn't take him at the price either. So we're just going to probably keep saying that for a while, get used to it.
Yeah, it might just be a blanket statement for the next 10 guys or so. So according to the ADP, I mean, maybe three drafts have been conducted since Kyle Schwarber was announced as catcher eligible. He's currently going 81 overall on Fantasy Pros ADP. Obviously, we talked about him enough. I would.
If it was just straight up CBS ADP, then he'd probably be going, or not CBS, but Yahoo. Like, I think you could legitimately take him like in the 30s or 40.
Yep.
And feel pretty decent about it.
Yeah, even if he doesn't, you know, hit lefties, like if they sit him against most lefties. That still evens out with other catchers because they have so many off days.
Yeah.
So he's still...
And he's... Yeah. Yeah, the average catcher, like, even if a catcher that plays a ton is only going to play 140 games, so...
Exactly.
If that's all you do is catch.
Yeah, and that's like, there are very few guys. I mean, it's Sal Perez, basically.
Yeah, that's Sal Perez.
The only guy that plays that much, even.
And then how long can he do it?
We shall see. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but right now we're going to move on to another cubby. That's Wilson Contreras, going 93 overall.
Well, you certainly didn't rank him anywhere near there.
I was shocked when I saw how high he was going.
Yeah. I mean...
He's 15 for me.
Another guy that's going to play more in the outfield and stuff like... He played quite a bit in the outfield last year, so... He was great last year. I mean, but probably a guy where you don't trust his batting average. He hit .282 last year. There's some regression in there. Probably it's going to hit, you know, you could legitimately expect from him. I mean, I could see taking him near the top 10 catchers, but, you know, where is he going right now? Number 5 as catcher? Like, yeah, I would agree that's too high.
Yeah, way, way, way too high as far as I'm concerned.
I would be higher on him than you are. Like, I would probably take him. I'd take him over Sandy Leon, Tom Murphy, Russell Martin. I'd take him over those guys. Probably around where Beef Wellington is where I'd probably have him. But yeah, that's there. He's way up there.
I don't know.
Is that like the World Series buzz?
Well, yeah, and I think there's going to be a bit of a Cubs tax for the next, I don't know, 2 decades. the greatest
team
in all
the keep winning
land.
The World Series every year, I guess, but
yeah, it's going to be the new Yankees tax. Or
they are, yeah. I mean, that is, like we said, it was the Yankees way back, you know, when they won 6 World Series or whatever. Then we kind of got to the point where the Red Sox were kind of the team, and you almost had to pay a Red Sox tax. And I think as long as the Cubs stay as good as they were the last year, like, I think if they put up 4 or 5 great seasons, you're going to end up seeing that big-time Cubs tax.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, to a certain extent, it's worth it to
just because
your Cubs.
Okay.
Yeah, the lineup is so good. Like, you're gonna get more runs in RBI. Just is a 1-for-1 compared to somebody else with a similar profile on a crappy team. But I mean, talking about Wilson Contreras, you know, the surface stats look really good from last year, and hence all the hype. But 24% home run per fly ball, which is not completely outlandish. There are plenty of guys that do that. But he had just a 32% hard contact rate and only a 27% fly ball rate. A lot of balls on the ground, 54%. And so it's going to be hard to, you know, even if you can maintain a 24% home run per fly ball, when you're just hitting 27% of the balls in the air, that's still not a lot of, you know, home run potential right there. And not only that, he only had 71% contact rate last year and 14% swinging strike rate. He chased 35% of pitches outside the zone, so that speaks to a real lack of plate discipline. You know, and he is only 24 years old, so obviously I do think, like, if you're looking at a dynasty league, he still is a guy that I would target. I think that he's going to improve a lot, you know, as his career wears on, but I wouldn't be surprised to see pitchers, you know, find some holes in his swing, and he's going to have to make some adjustments, and I think that strikeout rate is going to jump way up this year.
Yeah, I mean, just based on price, he's like the most overpriced, I'd say, of all these people, because like I said, I'd be thinking of taking him around 10 or 12, and you're saying 15, and he's going as the 5th guy, so, and the 4th guy if you're not including Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, I mean, there are some guys like Russell Martin we'll get to. I'm a little down on him. Tom Murphy, for one, I put him right in front of Wilson Contreras. I could go either way on that just because Murphy, we haven't seen a lot of track record there either. But, you know, Coors Field.
Yeah, that's just a Colorado catcher.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I had to pick a bust from this whole list, it would probably be Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. He's just too high. I mean, he's just going too high right now. I just think that the guys after him are just as – are going to put up – like, you know, if you look way back – like, I don't like Russell Martin either, but, you know, my every year boy, Yasmani Grandal, goes 70 picks later right now. So
yeah,
that's easy for me.
If you're comparing them, I mean, similar contact and swinging strike rates, like, I would not be surprised if Contreras has a .240 batting average just like Grandal next year.
Yeah, and I mean, Grandal's had seasons where his batting average is .200, you know, and he's an injury concern. But as long as Yasmani plays 130 some games, he's gonna have like a .350 OBP and hit 20 plus home runs, and like that's a good lineup too. The Dodgers are gonna score runs. I mean,
and you're talking about 60 some picks later.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just such a huge difference in price.
So yeah, let's move on to the next guy then. Evan Gattis is coming off the boards at 103 right now.
De Noodleman.
One of my favorite nicknames.
Yeah, I don't get that one at all. But anyway, yeah.
It is nonsensical.
Yeah. I remember his season pretty poorly. I could just be misremembering it, to use a word that doesn't exist. But
don't use any alternative facts, Joe.
Yeah, I guess. He was really bad at the start of last season, basically, and then turned it around pretty big time. Just, you know, 32 homers, so. I mean, he just hits home runs. That's the bottom line. You know, batting average is at least doable for most seasons. He's hitting around 250, 240. Like, you can deal with that out of your catcher spot. And the guy's going to hit bombs, so.
That he is. I mean, you look at...
Easily I'd take him over Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I mean, you got the same batting average, 250, you know, and that's assuming that that's what Contreras hits. That's what I would expect him to hit. And probably twice as many home runs, you know, if Gattis approaches 30 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it. I could see Contreras hits 260, Gattis hits 240, you know, but is that worth the difference in power? Probably not.
Yeah, and I mean, you really can't project batting average too well. You get a couple bleeders that come through, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it could go that way, or it could go the other way, where they both hit 260, because it's Gattis has hit 260 before.
Yeah, and you know what you're getting from Gattis at this point. So.
Yeah, so he's a nice safe pick, but you know, getting down there around pick 100, where maybe I'd consider it, but probably not still.
Yeah. All right. So what about JT Realmuto coming off the board 21 picks later at 124.
I like him as a player. He's just kind of not offering you the same things that any of these other catchers are offering you. He's not going to hit 30 home runs or anywhere near it. So it's like, you know, when you compare him to Gattis, he's just a totally different player than almost every other catcher.
Yeah.
You know, like 10-10 is not what you're used to seeing out of catcher.
Right, with a better average, too.
And a good batting average, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it's sort of, you know, I ranked him, ninth, I guess, at catcher, so a little behind where he's going here at seventh, but I don't really have a problem with Realmuto. He doesn't excite me. You get a couple extra steals. I don't know if it's really such a huge boon to his value, but the batting average is more what I like.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you can draft an Evan Gattis or a Wilson Contreras, and then maybe they hit 230, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and then you're like, oh, shit, you're killing me. But,
yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen with him, and he's going to still put up solid stats and all the other, but he's just a safe player, and I think he's maybe going too high for safety. Like,
yeah.
We'll see what Yahoo ADP brings us, but, you know, if in the, you know, the drafts with the kind of less smart players, will he drop down and be going around, you know, pick 170, then it's like, well, yeah, then I like it, but.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll probably stick somewhere in this range, and then neither one of us will own him.
Yeah, I like him as a player, but I don't like his price right now.
Yeah, and again, you know, Dynasty Leagues, he's still pretty young. Let's see,
he's 25. Yeah,
25, be 26 next year, so. I do like him in Dynasty formats.
Then he might, you know, grow into a little bit more power, but...
Yep. All right, we're going to take a short break and be right back.
It's that time again. That's right. It's fantasy baseball season, and the Fantasy Black Book is back and better than ever. This is Joe Pisapia, author of the 9-time best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, number one right now on Amazon, on iTunes, and for the first time ever, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book can be held in your hand. Yes, what a beautiful world we live in. Head over to Amazon and buy your hard copy as well today. Baseball is coming. Are you ready?
Next guy, Sal Perez, down at pick 137, the 8th catcher off the board.
I've never liked Sal Perez. That's just a guy I never, ever own. I don't know how you feel about him, but this feels like a batting average catcher that I'm... And I just, at some point, isn't he going to just fall apart? Like, he's got to die soon. They just hit him into the ground.
I know. Yeah. He just piles up so many games that you do have to worry about him a little bit. You know, it's if you're in an OBP league, I think you got to knock him.
Yeah. That's another reason that's what I'm saying. Like, just a bias I have. I just don't like players that don't walk, and he's just an... just one of the worst walk rates in the league.
Yeah.
So
he'll get you.
It was actually better last year. I mean, but he, like, 2015, 82 or 142 games, he walked 13 times.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. He'll get you maybe 20 home runs with a batting average and won't get, and he'll be out there a lot. So he compiles the runs in the RBI, although,
Not to that great of an extent, but yeah. I mean, 60-60 is kind of what he's been doing the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, and I did my rankings, despite how high I have Yasmani Grandal at 6.
You have Sal Perez way higher than I would.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's that bad. I mean, you got a guy who's hit over 20 home runs the last 2 years, approached it back in 2014 with 17. You know, if you're in a standard 5x5, hits 250, 260 every year. Used to hit closer to 300, but...
But so does Evan Gattis, and Evan Gattis is going to play some DH and some first base and play... I would flip that.
Yeah, Gattis is almost guaranteed to have a pretty poor batting average, too.
I know, but, like, Gattis hit 246 and 251 the last 2 years, and Sal Perez is hitting 260 now, so I just don't think the batting average is worth it anymore. Gattis has more power, and really, you know, even though, like we said, Sal Perez is the Iron Man of catcher, but Gattis is one of those guys for his base and DHs.
Yeah, that's true. I guess when I was making these rankings, I was thinking that, you know, he might miss out on, Gattis, that is, might miss out on a little playing time because they kind of have...
Well, they got a lot of guys there.
Yeah, but I still think he'll, you know, he'll get his, so to speak. So maybe you're right. I guess maybe I should put... You've talked me into it, Gattis over Perez.
Yeah, that's the one thing that jumps out at me. I mean, I guess when you got Grandal in there, like, that guy can hit 220 easily. I mean, he's Grandal is like a OBP league specialist, or points league specialist, because he is just – he just walks all the time, and he's really not a batting average guy at all. So I can understand taking Perez over him, but Gattis to me has got to be I'm on board with Gattis as the number four catcher, or five with Schwarber, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's not the way that it's – well, I guess he's going six overall. So, but I think I'm a little bit higher on Gattis than the rest of the catchers we've talked about so far.
All right, and the next catcher who we did touch on a little bit, Yasmani Grandal. He's the ninth catcher off the board after Sal Perez at 155. Been a pet player of ours for years.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could have new listeners, but for the old listeners, that's just like been both of our guy. I mean, every year we've done this show, he's been our catcher sleeper. I think it was probably.
If you go to thefantasyamateurs.com, you can see us duking it out. Joe slapped me in the face with a ham. We're fighting over Yasmani Grandal.
Pretty much. And I mean, like, I think just really injury, like the first year, 2014, was probably the year or one of the first years we liked him. And, like, you know, he was fine, but it basically just, he got hurt. And, you know, he just didn't quite put up the stats. Last year was the first time, and only 126 games, and he put up 27 homers and 72 RBI. And it's like, if you're in an OBP league, 339, that's just a normal OBP. But if you're in a batting average league, you hit 228.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could argue that with my rankings, which are for standard 5x5, maybe that'd be a little high, but I just like his power so much, Joe. I like it.
Yeah.
I think he can hit 30 this average, year.
Batting average league, it's like I could see taking McCann over him. I could see taking – geez, I could see taking any of the guys all the way down to Wellington Castillo over him. I could see it anyway, you know. I wouldn't necessarily do it, but in an OBP league or a points league, he's like top – close to top five.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, the batting average is terrible because he hits a ton of fly balls, but that is also what gives him so much power. And a 39% hard contact rate last year, that's going to help you achieve a 25% home run fly ball.
Last year, he was a guy you could get in, like, the last round of your draft, and this year you can't. So I can't be as in on him as I was. But there's no guy that goes that late anymore that I'm really all about this year.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of looking for that one guy, you know, that I can point to and just be like, well, I'm just going to wait till the end of my draft and grab this guy, and he'll be just fine.
And I've done that with Grandal the last 2 years.
Right, exactly. Mesoraco, too.
Or Mesoraco,
that never works, but...
Well, no. it did it did one time.
Yeah.
The first year we ever did the podcast was the year that he hit his 25 homers. But
ever since, it's been tears.
He just died, but I mean, we'll see what happens with him this year. I'm not going to be foolhardy enough to actually like tout him or anything, but if he's healthy.
Also, shout out to the word foolhardy, I think is the first time we've ever used that word on the show.
Won't be the last, though. God, I'm going to bring that back.
That's good. You know what word I'm bringing back is tramp.
All right.
That word has not, that insult has not been used nearly enough, I feel like. I watched a movie and somebody called a woman a stupid tramp or something like that, and I laughed for 5 minutes.
But I really like to bring back those really old-timey words.
Yeah.
I like to call people doofus. I don't know if that's really old-timey, but that's one of the things I like to do.
We'll call it old-timey.
Yeah.
Speaking of old-timey, Russell Martin is pretty old-timey. 170, the 10th pitcher, or catcher, rather, being taken. Back in Toronto, once again, what do you think about the Russell Martin?
Yeah, it feels like he's on the downside now, and, you know, the Blue Jays lineup isn't going to be quite what it used to be. It'll still be good. I wouldn't take him there.
Nor would I. I have him down at 12, which I guess isn't too far behind. You know, he's going off.
Yeah, he'd probably be like 15 for me. You know, like that would be one where I would differ from you a little bit. I don't know. I mean, he still put up 20 homers last year. I just kind of feel like, you know, he's getting up there. He's 33 now. I don't know. It feels like he's going to fall off a cliff here at some point. And it's one of those where maybe I'd rather be a year too early than a year too late. But he's not expensive, so.
Yeah,
super expensive.
Yeah, he'll be 34 by the time next season rolls around, even. So, he started to fall off a little bit last year. 72% contact rate, the worst of his career. Also worst, 10.8% swinging strike rate. So, I mean, that's a lot of times when you see that sort of contact slip, that's they're losing bat speed, they're getting old, so. Like you said, I think it would be wise to perhaps get off the Russell Martin train before the wheels fall off.
Yeah,
have wheels. But.
Well, they do. I mean,
they're circles. They're not really
circles.
They have circles and levers.
Okay, I would still probably call them wheels, but I'm no train engineer. that really threw me off. Now I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Sorry.
Anyway, whatever. Yeah, get off the Russell Martin train before the circles fall off.
Okay. Let's switch over then to Brian McCann. I couldn't think of a good segue to Brian McCann, so we'll just talk about Brian McCann, who's the 11th catcher off the board. Only 4 picks after Russell Martin.
Yeah, I would easily – that's a flip that I would make if, you know, like I'd easily rather have Brian McCann than Russell Martin.
Absolutely. I don't know why he's going so late. I've got him up at 7.
Yeah, and I mean – yeah, McCann, similar to Grandal, I think, or Gattis. Like, just nice safe catcher, is going to hit you some home runs.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Problem. Yeah. But why is he going 100 at 174? And, you know, like, I'd rather have him probably even than Sal Perez. And he goes 137, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I would easily rather wait for Brian McCann, for sure.
And he was like, he's actually, you know, his power declined last year a little bit, only hit 20, you know, he'd been 23, 26 the previous 2 seasons, but.
Yeah, he's getting up there and he's never an asset in batting average, but you sort of know what you're getting with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like Grandal, a little better batting average, a little worse power.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about.
And he's going to be that, you know, on that sexy Astros team now with the all-star at every position.
Should be a really nice lineup.
It should.
So a lot of runs in RBI there. You know, we were talking about the declining contact skills with Russell Martin. Brian McCann does have that to a certain extent. Swinging strike rate jumped up just about 1.5%. But contact rate, slowest it has ever been, 82%. Still good, you know, for a catcher. Well, good for anybody, to be honest, but not as good as it has been. So, yeah, but even with a little bit of a decline, I still like him here.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm less worried about the decline that with him than Russell Martin, and I don't have a good reason for it.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a little more lineup protection there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're similar players, I guess. I just think McCann is safer, but I don't know if there's any evidence to back that up. That's just what I feel in my gut.
You know what I feel in my gut? A donut. Probably.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be worse.
No. Wellington Castillo is the next guy off the board. 10 picks later at 184, the 12th catcher off the board. We've mentioned him a lot. Do you like him?
Well, I keep saying his name because I like him.
Just because his nickname is Beef?
That is the only reason. No, he had that. Remember, you know, it's like there was a stretch. I don't know if that was last year or 2 years ago when it felt like every time I turned on MLB Network, Beef Wellington was hitting a homer. So.
Mm-hmm. That'd be 2 years ago.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that going to Baltimore is going to be good for him better lineup, and just like the every single person in the lineup is just out there trying to hit homers. That's kind of the goal of the Baltimore Orioles. So I think, I don't know, I could see him, if he plays 130 games, hitting 25 homers.
Yeah, if he's out there that much.
He would be like in a 10-team league anyway. Like, I could see myself waiting and taking him in all my shallow leagues.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I do like the Castillo. And, you know, like you said, if he played 130 games, but the most he's ever played, 113 games, twice in last year and then in 2013. So not a guy who plays a ton. And, you know, they'll probably switch him in and out a little bit. But, you know, like they said, almost everywhere when you're moving away from Arizona is going to be a downgrade by Park, but Baltimore is not one of those downgrades.
No, and like I said, I just like the lineup better, and it just I don't know that this is really something that can be proven, but he's going to like the team that was just like the best home run hitting team in all of baseball last year. So it just kind of feels like just with, I don't know if it's coaching and that's they're saying like just go out there and hit us some home runs. Maybe that's just everyone's attitude on every team all the time in Major League Baseball now, and he doesn't need to go to a different team to get that. But I just
the
feel
park
like when
was
he goes,
juiced.
Yeah. Well, I just like just the coaching staff is just like, hey guys, get on base and stand there and we're gonna hit a 3-run homer.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It just feels like that's what they were doing. So
By the way, good strategy.
This is not a bad idea, yeah. Especially when you got Mark Trumbo and Chris Davis and guys that pretty much are only going to strike out or hit a 3-run homer. So,
right.
But yeah, I wish he was going a little bit later. Like if he was going whatever at pick 204, it'd be better. But he was going to probably. That's who I was thinking was going to be my sleeper catcher of the year.
I am totally on board. Last 2 years, we're looking at 38 and a 40% hard contact rate. Last year, 25% line drive. So if you just point to his 337 BABIP and say that that's out of line, it's going to regress. I mean, it probably will a little bit, but if he maintains that sort of contact, that BABIP can easily be repeated. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more of the same from what he did last year. And he was pushing 70 RBI, and at this draft slot, that's really nice. Even if he doesn't quite hit 20 home, he's never hit 20 home runs yet. I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if he did, given hard contact. But even if he doesn't hit the home runs, you're looking at a lot of extra base hits.
I feel like he's, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say about a guy that never has, but I feel like he's going to hit 20 to 25 home runs. I said home runs funny. Home runs.
I feel like we've been pronouncing a lot of things really weird today, like levers, but I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we also talked about how trains don't have wheels, they have circles.
Is Lever 5000, like, still a body soap?
Commercials? I remember that. Yeah, I do remember that soap.
What a terrible name for a soap.
Does anybody buy bar soap anymore?
I can't imagine anybody under the age of, like, 55 owns bar soap.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, like, the only place that people that ever had bar soap were your grandparents. And why didn't they just get body wash like everybody else? It's just soap is just gross.
It is, yeah. You get your pubes all over it and get them out.
It's just like, if you really have a bar soap and you know, anywhere you set it, it's just the bottom of it turns into mush.
Yeah.
So you lose like 40% of that bar of soap just to like melting or whatever, you know.
And then you have to scrape it off the shower to boot.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a bad product.
Speaking of bad products, Matt Wieters, who's usually banged up and kind of sucked last year at 189. He's the 13th catcher off the board. What do you think of him?
Well,
he doesn't have a home yet.
I don't know what to think of him yet because he's just a guy. He doesn't have a team. But
it's true.
I don't know.
Without a team, not Wieters.
Yeah. I mean, I saw there was an Angels rumor. That would make sense, I guess. They don't really
have
a...
He's going to heaven?
Yeah. And the outfield. Angels in the outfield.
That
was a good movie, by the way.
The team. I don't remember much about it except like it almost made me cry when I was 12 or whatever.
You know who the kid was?
Who's that?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Ah, I was going to say Mike Trout.
No, it wasn't.
That would have been fortuitous.
Tony Danza, if I recall.
Hey! Wait, that's not what
he sounds like.
We need to get Piece of Pia on the show today.
Yeah. Angela! I don't know. The only thing I know to say with him is Angela, but yeah, no, he... I really don't know what to think of Weeters until he finds a team, but he I don't know. He's a back-end catcher nowadays.
Yeah, not a lot of upside. 265 BABIP last year, despite a 33% hard contact rate, which is, you know, above average, not a lot above average, but 24% line drive rate as well. So I do think that BABIP was low, is pretty unlucky last year, so he could do better than what he did last year, especially if perhaps he gets a little healthier, but he's also a year older. So, I mean, it depends on where he lands. As like I said, as of now, he doesn't have a place to play. So pretty much anywhere you go, though, is going to be a downgrade from Baltimore and that next
lineup.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind him going to the Angels. I think that makes sense. He'd be – I mean, anywhere he goes, you'd think he's going to be the starting catcher.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because he's still a great defensive catcher, and I mean, he still can hit. It's not like he's
As catchers go, like
he's not a pile
good.
Of garbage, but yeah. It's just I'm not gonna like him where he, I'm not gonna like him and as much as Beef Wellington and Brian McCann and Russell Martin. Like it feels like a pretty big drop off there. After the Beef.
Yeah. I've actually got him ranked above the Beef, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not on board with that.
We'll see where he lands. I'll probably end up dropping him.
Yeah, you had Weeters all the way up at 8, and I just don't see it. I think he's...
Well, like I
mean,
said,
like,
I think he got pretty unlucky last year.
I guess. I don't know. Just that one particular comparison, I'm taking Beef. The Orioles made the right decision there.
You know what would spice up your Beef Wellington?
That Dots pretzel.
A little bit of Dots pretzel rub, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Plug in that pretzel dust. All right. Who do we got next here? Yadier Molina. Speaking of dust, his balls are old and dusty.
He's just an old catcher. I don't know.
Yeah. My little stat for him, which, let's see, where the hell do I have him? Oh, God, he's down at 17. 6, which is the average number of home runs that he's hit over the last 3 seasons.
Yeah, he's a two-catcher league guy, and that's it. He's just not really. He's practically fantasy irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, he'll still get you a decent batting average that won't kill you. You know, he'd bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, but really I just feel seasons. Like he's just like he should be the guy that you pick up off waivers if your other catcher gets injured.
Yeah, in standard leagues, I think we're getting to the point where these guys are, you know, borderline waiver wire fodder throughout the year.
I would say we're there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I also don't like NFBC. Most of those, I'm guessing, are two catcher leagues by where these guys are going overall.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be taking a second, you know, like everybody, like from even like, yeah. So maybe Beef Wellington will be going at a price that I will be able to say he is my catcher sleeper of the year because, you know, if he's going around pick 250 or something like that, then, or 230 even, then I think that's. Then I'll be good with that. So I think a lot of this ADP is coming from two catcher leagues where you have to take a second catcher a little earlier.
Yeah.
So that'll totally then the order of the catchers isn't going to change based on that, but just their position in the overall will change.
Indeed, yeah. It's you know, and again, if standard leagues, you just wait till the last round and grab Castillo or Weeters or what you know. Totally fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
So Steven Vogt. Another sort of bland guy going off the board about a round later.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, he's a guy that you can wait on, and I don't really have a problem with that. If you're in a 10 or 12 team league, I think he should be on the waiver wire pretty much. So, yeah. And if you draft a bad catcher and Steven Vogt's off to a hot start, go ahead and pick him up. But he's not a difference maker.
No. So I don't know. We're getting sort of towards the dregs. Maybe we can.
I mean, like
you
said, you had a. There's a couple other guys that, you know, kind of are interesting to me. Like I said, Tom Murphy, just because he's in Colorado.
Yeah. Interesting stat that I pulled for him. You know, small sample size, but 48% hard contact rate, just crushed the ball when he was up last year, but also struck out almost 40% of the time. So,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, if he continues that, his bat is not going to play, even if he does make that much hard contact when he does put a ball in play. But, you know, it's such a nice buffer just playing half your games in Coors. Like, you know, your BABIP is just raised so much that puts him on the map for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's just he's interesting just because of the ballpark, and we'll see what he does. I mean, don't feel like we know enough about him to say that he's not going to be he could pop up and be a top 10 guy, you know. Some of these other guys, just I don't think so. I don't Steven Vogt, Yadier Molina, you know, they're just guys, but he could be different just due to the fact that he's in Colorado.
Yeah, very low floor but also quite a bit of upside.
Yeah, the other guy that I think, and I know you ranked him a lot higher than the ADP, and I would be on board with taking him higher than he's going right now. It's just health. But Wilson Ramos is going super late. And it's just like, how much time is he going to miss?
I have heard recently that he is expected to return in May and start DHing at that point.
So then what are you looking at? Like, how many games missed? 30?
Somewhere thereabouts, I would say. Yeah, 30 to 40. I don't know if I'm necessarily on board with expecting him back early May. You know,
yeah, because the problem is if that's his timetable is early May, then, you know, expect him in late May.
Yeah.
Just because a lot of times that's how it goes.
Yeah, and I've, you know, previous years, obviously longtime listeners know that I tend to just simply avoid these guys that are injured coming into the season, much like I will do with Albert Pujols this year whenever we get to first baseman. But I would say that the exception would be at the catcher position for somebody who was so good last year. And
yeah, he was a top five catcher.
Oh, he's terrific, and I think you can point directly to his LASIK surgery. You know, he had LASIK in the off season, and all of a sudden he's tremendous. Like, you can see the ball better. There's not that much to it. So if he's healthy, I think he could be great again. So just because catcher is such a crappy position anyway, I'm more apt to take the risk with Wilson Ramos. And it's not like he's costing you anything anyway.
Well, no, like if you're in a 12-team league, he would be undrafted. So at this point, based on ADP. So draft him with your last pick and then pick up a catcher off the waiver wire.
Exactly, yeah, just put him on your
list until he never comes back. Or else take Beef Wellington in the second to last round and then take him in the last round. And when he comes back, then you got a trade chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? I mean, Cameron Rupp, I guess, in Philadelphia has shown some power potential, but also a lot of strikeout potential.
Yeah, I mean, you have Sandy Leone actually higher than he's going right now, and I feel like he was a guy that I was worried people were going to overdraft, but that doesn't appear to be happening.
Only me.
Yeah, guy that kind of was interesting to me on the catcher.
Well, I mean, we talked about good lineups with the Beef.
Yeah.
It didn't get better than the Red Sox last year, so even if he's hitting down towards the bottom of the order, going to be a boost in runs and RBI there. And 392 BABIP, obviously not going to repeat, right? But you can't just take that BABIP and slash it down 100 points and, put it league average 300 and say, well, now he's a 200 hitter. He's a better hitter than that. So while it will even out a little bit, he made 82% contact last year. Very low swinging strike rate, 7.6%. So he is a good contact hitter, and he had about average hard contact rate, so it's not like he's some, slap hitter that, needs wheels to get to first base or anything like that. So I do think there will be a little bit of a correction, obviously, with the batting average. He's not a 300 hitter, but he offers a little bit of power, so I think he's a catcher that will not kill you for going so late as he is. So,
Yeah, I didn't think he would be going as, close to the 20th catcher off the board. That's not what I would have predicted.
Yeah,
19th catcher, so I thought he'd have more buzz, and I guess he just doesn't.
Yeah, I think I would rather have him than, Steven Vogt or Yadier Molina. I feel like he's got a little more power than those guys.
Yeah, Yadi for sure for me. Yeah, and I think him and Steven Vogt, I'd say that's pretty similar. I would think he should be going up in that range as opposed to down with the Derek Norris and Travis d'Arnaud of the world.
Yeah, and compared to Steven Vogt, 70 picks later than Steven Vogt right now.
Yeah. So they're actually someone that I thought might be overpriced is actually looking very underpriced.
Yeah. So in a two catcher league, I would probably only own everywhere.
Yeah, I could see that.
Certainly more than Derek Norris, who got 30% strikeout rate last year. Blech.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of these guys just have really no redeeming qualities down here. Like, Mike Zunino. I mean, just a strikeout machine.
Yeah, the book is pretty much out on him. I really got sucked in last year. His plate discipline looked a lot better at AAA, and it is a launching pad out there in the PCL where they have their AAA, but you know, so you can't look into the power too much. But that is one thing that he's always had, is just a lot of power, and he just cannot make contact. He came back up and his play discipline looked good, and then it all just fell to crap again. So I'm sick of buying in on Zunino.
I never did. So he was a guy that I didn't like from the jump. So
I was.
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say a guy who I have ranked above him is Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say his name is last name, just because he's coming. You know, like he was the catching prospect probably 3 years ago. And now he's a total afterthought, and a lot of it's been injuries. He just really hasn't played, so there could still be some untapped talent there.
Yeah. He's a lot of upside at this point. Obviously, very low floor, but a lot of upside too if he can stay healthy. You know, the stat that I put out on him is the number 83, which is the average total of games he's played over the last three seasons. That's not going to do you a lot of good. So there's a lot of risk there. But if he can stay healthy, he can potentially hit for a good average with some power.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of risk, as in he could not play at all, or, you know, or just be out for the whole season, but there's no risk in where he's going.
Yeah, we're talking about a purely second catchers right now.
Yeah.
So, as a second catcher, if somebody gets to Sandy Leon before I do, then I would take a gamble on d'Arnaud.
Yeah, I think that he's a good guy to take, and because there's really no more, there's nobody else down here has upside, unless you'd say Mesoraco does, but...
Yeah, I mean... did you read my Keith's ad on him?
Nah, I don't know. That he's a corpse?
Yes, pretty much.
Oh, well, he's 35% chance that he's a live human, so that's good.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to think about him anymore. He missed two straight years with injury, and so it's really hard to know what to think of him. I was really having a hard time deciding what to do with him in our Dynasty League.
Yeah. I'm just done. I'm gonna keep him.
I mean, I don't really know why, but
in a dynasty league, you're keeping him out of 20. Your 20 players, you're gonna keep him, huh?
I guess.
Oof, that's tough.
I don't know if he is a usable catcher. Then it's he's like a 28-year-old catcher. I don't know. Whatever. It's a tough decision. It's either, you know, usually, like, since he's been hurt the last 2 years, I'm just taking catchers off the waiver wire. And, they're incredibly bad, the options that you have at that point. So I'll take my chances with the guy that's at least done it one time, even though it was quite a while ago, rather than having to pick up Nick Hundley off the waiver wire or whatever.
Ugh, yeah.
Or, Tyler Flowers. I mean, these are guys I was playing, you know, and it's like... You get they go 0-15 some weeks, and it's just like, wow. Why didn't I play no one?
Exactly. The sad thing in the prestigious dynasty is you have to play someone.
Well, yeah, I know. So it's just like, there was times when I would try and find the guys that were like, I can't, it was a Boston catcher. I can't remember which one it was, but he only caught one guy. So he played one day a week.
Vasquez?
Yeah, it wasn't him. I think it was one of the other ones. They had three catchers at one point that were playing. But, you know, I was just keeping this guy in, and he would play one game a week. And I'm just like, well, better than most guys because he doesn't play.
Exactly. He doesn't get you 15 plate appearances of a 150 average.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just better for him to go 0-3 than 0-20.
Right. All right. Well, I mean, that's pretty much all the guys that I'm interested in touching on, so.
Yeah, we can call it a day if you're good.
Honestly, it's more than I thought we would squeeze out of the catcher position.
Yeah, it's just gross. hard to talk too much about these guys. A lot of them are the same. I mean, so my probably biggest thought on catcher is I think my catcher this year is going to be Beef Wellington. I really like the line. I like the spot for him. And as long as he's going as one of the outside of the top 10 catchers, I think I'm going to take him in all my leagues and think and hope he can put up a top, you know, 6 or 7 catcher season.
Yeah. No issue with that at all. So with that, I guess we'll see you next time, huh? you're not gonna be around for the next show. It's going to be Joe Pisapia and Van Shipley filling in for the Osachi. And so look for that early next week, hopefully, if everything goes well. No, that'd be late next week if everything goes according to plan. So we'll be looking at more sleepers and busts from the catcher position. So until next time, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.